Now, out of curiosity, with today's technology, assuming that we could launch today, tomorrow, or next year, the next few years, what could we launch, and how much power could it reasonably, honestly transfer?
Well, we're talking literally billions of kilowatt hours. We can, and here's another thing. I have to go one slight step off of the direct subject to kind of come back around to it.
Okay.
China, as you know, is a huge growth industry right now.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
They have their equivalent of an environmental protection agency. And, of course, they're trying to follow the Kyoto Accord about greenhouse emissions to the letter.
Huh.
At this point, China's EPA has shut down 26 major power plant development projects because of their environmental concerns. In particular, things like burning coal with high sulfur content and the greenhouse emissions.
Boy, I don't know, Sir Charles. Have you ever been up into China, or in recent years been to China?
No, I haven't.
Shenzhen, that economic little paradise they have there that now is populated by millions of people, it has air that you could cut with a knife.
And that is exactly why they have this concern. China is going to be one of the world's leaders in the development of orbital solar power. One of the deals that we're trying to work through the Space Island Group is a means of leasing the power satellites and their production capability to China.
Huh. To China.
That's correct. It appears that China and India will be the leaders in consumption, followed by the rest of the developed world, such as the United States and Great Britain.
Can you compare the output of one of those satellites and its counterpart collection grid on the ground to, say, the output of a typical coal-fired or nuclear reactor, or any kind of reactor we can associate with, so we understand the scale of this?
Sure. A typical orbital satellite of this type would probably replace 33 power plants.
33 power plants?
Yep. And they can be scaled up, made much larger, and replace more of them. It's only limited by how large and how many we're willing to build. And the interesting thing is, our target cost for power generation at this point is 5 to 7 cents per kilowatt hour, but over time, after the first few become operational, that could drop to 3 cents per kilowatt hour.
God, that's cheap.
Is that cheap.
And that's a lot of power plants you'd be replacing. And what is there any estimation of the cost of construction and launching, and then the whole ball of wax, the satellite, getting it up there, the cost of the ground station, and then whatever?
Well, basically right now, we're targeting trying to raise a pool of $10 billion to fund this over the next few years. And all of it is basically available through private industry, and we're certain of that. And the insurance industry, of course, would be a large part of it. But another thing is, if we could work a deal with the government of China, for instance, a donation based on the population of a province, and that's one of the things that's been in the works, then that would mean that they would have a real toehold in getting those stations set up that much faster. And for just as a point of interest, there was a meeting between the Space Island Group and the Chinese aerospace group, Great Wall Aerospace. It lasted three and a half hours in Los Angeles. This was just last Monday.
Really?
And they are negotiating right now, trying to figure out the best way to carry this out.
Sir Charles, why is all of this so much more readily possible with China in the beginning than the U.S.?
Do you know, I believe it's because we have it so easy here compared to the rest of the world that we don't see the problems as readily as people who are really with their nose to the grindstone.
Oh, and they have that. They really, that country, what's going on over there, if most Americans could see it, it would scare the bejesus out of them.
If you've never traveled out of the country, you really don't know what the rest of the world is like, and that's a fact.
And with regard to China, I'm telling you folks, it would fill your senses, and you'd go into overload if you saw what was going on in China right now. The miles and miles and unending miles of factories, the way it used to be in the industrial U.S., I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on. So you think they'd buy very quickly into this, the power aspect of this?
I'm certain of it. Negotiations are going on now, and we will have hardware flying in just a very few years. That is to be expected. Funding is in the mill. So I'm happy to announce that this thing we've talked about for so long is finally going to materialize.
It's actually going to happen.
It is going to happen, and I'm going to be a part of it. Now, I've got other players on the field, and some of them have been guests on your show before as well.
Oh?
As a matter of fact, Wednesday, a week ago, on George Norrie's show, you had Michael Fulton, who was the head of Ion Beam Optics.
All right.
And one of the things he is very good at is deployable optics. And these are optical systems that can be rolled up in a canister, deployed to some location, they unfold and they do their thing, such
right.
as Fresnel lenses made of silicone rubber, so they're flexible.
Right.
He's very good at optical coatings, and this is going to be an extremely important part of the construction of these stations. And Michael Fulton is in this project as well. He is putting together an energy consortium based on his contacts in Singapore for portable generating stations based on solar. And the work that he's doing in the deployable coatings will have direct applications to the work we're doing on the solar power stations. So there are a number of people who are very good at what they do, and they are dedicated to getting this done. And it all comes down to energy will be the world's largest market coming up in the next few years. And we're going to see to it that there's plenty of it available.
All right. Address the problems associated with sunstroke. Sunstroke was a book written a long time ago. I interviewed its author. I particularly enjoyed this book about exactly what it is Sir Charles is talking about. The orbiting satellite, the ground station, and of course it's a science fiction novel. So in the novel, the satellite begins to drift in orbit. The microwave beam stays on, and it starts turning people and things on the ground into French fries.
Okay, the most obvious error there is that the density of the energy in this beam is less than the energy of sunlight. And in many cases, microwave energy has been used for very low-level heating in some places with little or no biological effect. So the case studies that have been done indicate that very low-level exposures to microwave on this concentration will pose little or no health hazard.
Uh-huh.
So to be used as a weapon, this is really a very impractical weapon. It's like
well, I think they were thinking more like an accident, not so much a weapon, but I'm sure there are applications there. I was thinking more of just an accident where the satellite begins to drift and stays hot.